And now I will clear out of the way for the one and the only Larry Wall.
I can do that too. My keyboard on? Well, actually, today I'll need all the support I can get. I'm running an experiment today in sleep deprivation. Actually, I've been running an experiment in sleep deprivation for the last 6 months or so. If what I say today comes out like total mush, well, you can just assume that I used up all my pitiful supply of good writing for that little book some of you have been carrying around. I decided to talk about music this year because I talked about chemistry last year. The two are naturally associated in my brain for some reason. Of course, all music can be viewed as better living through chemistry, brain chemistry, that is. Here, have some neurotransmitters. Feel happier? This talk will mostly be auditory, but for you people who are visually oriented, I have a SOP. Here are, if we get this screen up here, I have some new tokens that we'll be adding to Perl. Can we get this screen up? Yeah. Actually, these are some of the Unicode characters that are in the process of being approved up in the surrogate area. But, you know, UTF-8 can handle that. No, I can't wait till I can overload some of these as operators. So, now, I'm not entirely sure what dollar A trill dollar B would mean. But it'll do something to your neurotransmitters. But neurotransmitters aside, chemistry and music are also associated in my mind because although I eventually graduated in computers and linguistics, for my first 2 years in college, I was pursuing a double major in chemistry and music. And kind of the story of my life that I've always been interested in too many things. Jack of all trades and master of maybe one. I don't know. Anyway, I've uttered that phrase chemistry and music so often that it's almost a Pavlovian response. Hey, Larry. You talked about chemistry last year. What are you going to talk about this year? Slobber, slobber, slobber. I'll talk about music. It wasn't until 3 days ago, though, that I actually sat down and asked my left brain, why do you want to talk about music this year? I don't know. Ask my right brain. I am your right brain, stupid. I think part of the answer is that I worry about how Perl culture is going to grow up. You know, if any of you have kids, you know that kids are complex, and they get more complex as they get older. Fortunately, there's only so much complexity that any one kid can hold, and either they eventually go insane, or if you're really lucky, they go sane. Even so, understanding any individual completely is impossible. But Perl culture is composed of many people, and so the complexity of Perl culture can grow without bounds. No one person can understand Perl culture completely. If the complexity of Perl culture is going to continue to grow beyond the ability of any one person to fathom, even me, how can we continue to think constructively about it? I believe that we must learn to apply constructive analogies from other systems that are too complicated to understand completely. On the one hand, we can pull ideas from those sciences that have had to deal with overwhelming complexity, such as chemistry, biology, neurophysiology, so on. On the other hand, the more humanistic pursuits have always been overwhelmed by complexity, whether you're talking about sociology or political science. You can study literature all your life and not even read everything you're supposed to read, let alone what you want to read. Music is the same way. Many of us know thousands of songs or musical pieces, but nobody can know them all. Even if you could somehow combine all the songs that are currently playing somewhere in the world It would just come out as pink noise. Terribly musical. And that's exactly how your brain feels if you've read too many Pearl mailing lists all at once. Only God can hear all the songs that are being played simultaneously, and only God can read all the simultaneous mailing lists, news groups, and websites of the world. Pretty soon, only God will be able to understand the CPAN. As humans, we have to simplify. In fact, we must oversimplify. We all specialize. We can focus in on one style of music, or on a particular piece of music, or on a particular instrument. We can focus on rhythm, or harmony, or melody. We can focus on any of the ways that music affects our moods, whether tied directly to words, or subtly as background music in a movie, or background music in an elevator. We can focus on any of who, what, where, why, when, or how. On a good day, we can focus on several things, but we can never focus on all of them. So for the rest of this talk, I'd like to oversimplify Pearl culture by looking at it through the lens of music culture. Now, the problem with music culture is, of course, that although it makes a nice analogy, it's also too complicated to talk about or even think about. So I brought along a few props. You can think of them as extension modules. Extension modules come in all shapes and sizes. Of course, you can program without extension modules. Those of you who have evolved far enough to have opposable thumbs have a built-in percussion instrument. Okay, that's a snap, of course. With a little work, you can develop a crackle and a pop as well. To do the crackle, you first learn to snap twice with each hand. And then you combine them in sequence. Okay, that's your crackle. To do a pop, you just make a little resonant cavity with your one hand and go, something like that. Then you get, you know, things like that. Long ago at a campfire far away, somebody discovered that pigs have spare ribs. At least they're spare after all the meat is gone. Well, at least the pig doesn't need them anymore. Let me move this over here. No, I'm not. Not yet. Now, if you work these just right, you can get a kind of a triple rhythm. You know, they say it's all in the wrist. Well, I'm going to have to bone up on that. Here's a more intuitive interface. These are called claves. At least these would be called claves if they were from Spain, but they're not. They're from Papua New Guinea, and so I have no idea what they're called there. I've asked various people from Papua New Guinea what they're called, and they have no idea either. They're probably called about 750 different things, since that's about how many languages there are in New Guinea. Every time you go over a hill, the next tribe speaks an entirely different language. It's like being in your typical computer science department, where every professor wants you to learn their favorite computer language, which is different from the other 750 favorite computer languages of all the other professors. I suppose you could think of these as opposable sticks. Though, in the history of our species, sticks have usually been opposed to crania. Eventually, our ancestors got tired of grilled spare ribs, so they figured out how to boil pigs. Not long after that, they discovered soup. And not long after that, they invented the spoon. The technology was developing really fast back then. Anyway, shortly after they invented the spoon, they invented two spoons, because that way they didn't have to share. Now, this module is actually rather awkward to use, kind of like a Perl 4 module. That's the same sort of, well, you know, I got a better thing. Here's the Perl 5 version of the same module. Have the technology. We don't need the technology. Okay. Now we're missing the technology and okay. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled program. This, you know, it's the same sort of noise you get when two people butt heads against each other in Perl 5 quarters, you know, bomb. That's what oppositional behavior sounds like. The entire field of percussion is based on oppositional behavior. That is, two objects trying to occupy the same space at the same time. So this is, you know, definitely an object-oriented module. You notice the relationship between these two spoons has been encapsulated so that the user no longer has to specify it explicitly. Actually, this is the second version of this module. Unfortunately, one of my kids broke the encapsulation on the first version. But in fact, all percussion instruments are object-oriented. Yeah, lots of fun. Percussion instruments are object-oriented, as I said. After all, they indicate the rhythm, right? And rhythm is object-oriented. You look like you don't believe me. Rhythm really is object-oriented. Surely you've all heard of the rhythm method. Furthermore, you'll note that people who use the rhythm method are frequently members of the Lamaze class. Personally, I've been through three Lamaze classes, so has my wife. Now, many of you know that we have four kids. For our fourth kid, they told us not to come back. Since it was obvious we already knew all there was to know about heavy breathing. Actually, the Lamaze techniques are an interesting application of rhythm for the purpose of distracting the participants with pantings of various sorts. Okay, honey, now do sixes, twos, threes, sevens, and fives, not necessarily in that order. Nurse, take my husband, please. In the abstract, rhythm is about event programming, kind of like a Geiger counter. Here's our current background radiation. Here's if you sit too close to the TV in your hotel room. Those of you who know Morse code probably know what that said. I don't. If you don't care to sit too close to your TV, just move to Boulder, or stay here and, you know, wait for the Diablo Canyon reactor to melt down. random events aren't really all that interesting, however. It gets more interesting when you program which events happen when. And you can do all sorts of, don't do that. None of that. Other than little games like that, there's really only one sound that spoons can make. The conga drums, by contrast, provide a richer interface. You can think of the interface as parameterized in several different dimensions, most of which are infinitely variable. But for all its richness, it's still an event-driven module. Perl also has an event module, and it's maybe a little more portable than these, but you could use a little more work on that. But you can do some various interesting event loops on these things. And so on. Now, as a linguist trained in tag mnemics, I tend to think of these things in terms of fields, waves, and particles. You know, harmony is a field, while melody is a wave. I think of rhythm as particles, where the events are the points at which things happen. Actually, it's the events themselves that are particles, but rhythm itself is a higher level of abstraction, sort of connecting the dots in our heads. So event questions start with when, while rhythm questions tend to start with how often. Like, how often should we have a Perl conference? How often should we have a Perl World Cruise? it's like this. It's a three against two rhythm, sort of a hemiola. The Perl conference is once a year, while the Perl cruise is scheduled to be once every 18 months, which gives you three beats in one hand to every two beats in the other. Here's three beats against four. Three against five. If you want to figure these out for yourself, it's really just a bit of math. Multiply the two numbers to find out how many subdivisions you need. With three against four, you need 12 subdivisions, and with three against five, 15. And you just chart it out. Now, in reality, the rhythm of Perl culture is more of a fractal with many smaller interactions for all the larger ones. You know, here's a Perl conference, but all sorts of stuff going on in the interstices. But speaking of fractals, I noticed an interesting thing about the rhythm of releases. As the size of the Perl core and libraries gets bigger, it takes longer to rev a major release. So they naturally get slower. You know, Perl 1, Perl 2, Perl 3, Perl 4, Perl 5. And then we start getting sub-releases. And then they get slower. And then we get subversions. And they get slower and slower. Eventually, the subversions are taking as long as the original Perl 1, Perl 2 thing, but that's because they're actually accomplishing just as much. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. In compensation, now, up till now, we've seen instruments that specialize in rhythm, which is a particle effect. In contrast, there are other instruments that specialize in harmony and melody. Here is an autoharp. You know, it's always on the wrong side. Well, you push the buttons and you get harmony. It's almost a pure harmony instrument. With a little bit of rhythm on the strum level. Harmony is an abstraction, a construct we manufacture in our own minds. Unlike rhythm, harmony is spread out in the pitch dimension and behaves as a field. By that I mean it seems to fill space in a way that neither rhythm nor melody does. You can play rhythms and melodies simultaneously, and they tend to keep their individual identities. But if you try playing two chords simultaneously, you either get a different chord from either of them, or you just get mush. Interestingly, you can't actually add two chords together on an auto harp, because an auto harp builds harmonies by subtraction, not by addition. You know, it's like trying to mix paints when you ought to be mixing light. The more you try to mix, the less you end up with. Subtract the notes to get the what we want, and we subtract, we get fewer and fewer notes. Eventually, we get no notes. That's not the way to mix harmony. To actually mix harmony, you need an additive device like a keyboard. Now that does not sound like that, nor it doesn't sound like that, but. Something else again entirely.